Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is having their best deal of the year. Go to shadyrays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady to enter the Shady Rays Parlay of the Day contest. We're also brought to you by the SGPN's Draft Week. All week long, SGPN has you covered with draft props, mock drafts, and our live NFL Draft Watch Party. So make sure to smash that subscribe button at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast.
Hi, Yoda Generinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 336. Goes up to Turnup, one of our friends in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Always has some good intel and good insight into fights. He actually can keep up with my co-host too, with the obscure MMA fighter references. I'm assuming it's a he. It could be a she. They seem to know their stuff. So this goes out to Turnup, who I don't think we've given an episode to before. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. You can find me in the Discord as well. This is our main card breakdown of UFC Fight Night Song versus Simone. And we'll give you all our fancy plays at the end as well. I mentioned Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Let's bring him in. My co-host, Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
I think we did give one to Turnup before.
Okay. But yeah, you and him were talking about fighters, and people are like, who are these people you're speaking of highly of? And
we're getting all excited about Contender Series, which is right around the corner in Fury FC, for those of you who are itching for some Contender Series stuff. Fury FC, during their broadcast on Sunday, actually let it slip that three of their guys will be on Contender Series. So we got some breaking news there, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, that means we're getting close to that season again, right? How many more months? Three months, I guess, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the beginning of August.
And everyone's already talking about it in the Discord. If you're that type of person and you're looking forward to Contender Series as well, and get in the Discord. That's the place to be. But we're talking about Song versus Simone this week. Is there some Contender Series grads on this part of the card? Probably.
Waters?
Yes.
Waters. Both of the first two fighters we're going to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. Julian Rosa. Yeah, there's always a bunch. This is
Waldo Cortez Acosta.
Yeah, used to be tough, but.
Kai Bohio.
There you go.
Ricky
and
Simone.
On and on it goes. And yes, we're going to be talking about Contender Series a lot. This is the, like I said, the main card portion. Hopefully we get all six of these fights, but who knows? Things are, as you mentioned on yesterday's episode, if you haven't listened yet, go back an episode where you broke down the prelims. Things are moving on these fight cards. I'm almost worried about recording this, and things are going to change before we release it, but hopefully not. Like Cage Warriors, that happened to us too. Things were happening on Cage Warriors as well. So these things
all my breakdown of the French Solomon Renfro is just for naught.
We even named an episode that, and the fight fell through. Amazing.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It happens. All right. Before this fight card changes, I should tell you about our sponsor. Shall I not? Yes, I shall. We're going to tell you about Shady Rays Parlay of the Day for all you shady people out there. We're running a special Parlay of the Day contest for people who have bought their shades from shadyrays.com using the promo code SGPN. Each day at the NFL Draft, the Sports Gambling Podcast will release a Shady Rays Parlay of the Day the parlay hits, the cash will be awarded to one lucky listener. Go to Shady Rays. Sorry, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady to start getting shady. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. I'll tell you all about Shady Rays now. They have you covered from sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. That means if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they've donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Here's what you need to do exclusively for our listeners. Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the year. Go to shadyrays.com. Use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. Shady Rays. All right. What are we going to jump into now? The main card of UFC Fight Night Song versus Simone. ESPN Plus, 7 o'clock. Yes, as of now, as of recording, 7 o'clock start time. It's going down this Saturday. UFC Apex Enterprise Nevada. We're going to start off with welterweights. Josh Quinlan versus Trey Waters. I will tell you about Waters first. He's the truth. He's 7-1, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, and he's been submitted 1 time. So he's never gone the distance in a fight. This is a short notice UFC debut. He did win his last fight via knockout. He was 0-1 in the contender series, was the LFA champion. 5 inches taller than Quinlan, 5 inches reach, 2 years younger. He got outstruck in his contender series loss by 1.43 strikes per minute. Who was that he fought? Do you remember?
Gabriel Bonfim.
No shame there.
Yeah.
Plus 155 for Waters. Quinlan Bushido, 6-0 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's never gone the distance either, except his no contest was, I think that was inside the distance too. He had a no contest in the contender series. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he won by a quick knockout against Logan Urban.
Yeah. And he tested positive for real drugs, not marijuana. Correct. Real performance enhancers. All right. 1-0 in the UFC. Won his last fight via knockout. As I said, he did win on the contender series originally, but then he lost it due to a drug test or got changed to no contest. Striking stats and active striking stats better than the Waters, but we're talking very small sample size. He's outstruck his 2 opponents in the octagon by 4.43 strikes per minute. Yikes. Minus 170. Give me Quinlan. You know my thoughts on short notice, especially short notice debuting fighters. So going up against someone of Quinlan's level, I don't think this is going to play out well for Waters. So give me Quinlan.
Yeah, and you know me, I'm always willing to give a chance to a guy who's coming in on short notice, but I will say I'm also in on Quinlan on this one. Okay. Mostly just because, like, Trey Waters does a lot of, like, this is going to sound mean, he does a lot of tall guy shit, and I mean it being, like, guys who are much taller or way too tall for their division do, like, a lot of, like, just leaning out of the distance and, like, leaning out of range. They also, like, don't move as much as they should. Sometimes they lean in farther than they should when they're striking, and they usually get away with a lot of that, right? They get away with a lot of that on the regional scene. He got away with a lot of that against Jalen Fuller, which, by the way, that fight was only going to be 15 days prior to this one, was the last time he fought, and it was not an easy fight either. But like one time he threw this leg kick, kind of left his hands down, and he ate a left hand right on the chin against Jalen Fuller. And the good news is against Jalen Fuller, you don't go to sleep. Against Josh Quinlan, you go to sleep. That dude hits way too hard to be doing that kind of stuff too. And I think it's a nightmare matchup for Waters. Waters has got two real clear issues, like two types of guys who are going to beat him. It's guys who hit really hard and guys who have phenomenal double legs. Like those are going to be the guys who beat Waters forever. And when he fought Bonfim, it just happened to be both of those things.
Yeah. Quinlan is the pick. We're on the same page here. All right, let's move all the way up to heavyweights. Marcos Rogério de Lima versus Waldo Cortez Acosta in the battle of the long name fighters. Tell you about Salsa Boy first. Cortez Acosta, one of our favorite. One can't help but laugh at that nickname, especially when you see him and his body type and everything. Salsa Boy is a great nickname. He's 9-0, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in contender series, was the LFA champion. One no in Bellator. All he does is win. Was a pro boxer as well. 3 inches height, 3 inches of reach on Lima, 6 years younger. He's over two times more active landing strikes in Lima, 2.2 to be exact. He's at plus 374. His strike differential is plus 3.74 strikes per minute.
I was like, that is a number I am not familiar with.
He's at plus 160, so he's not quite as big a dog as I originally made him here. Pizao is Lima, Bigfoot, Pizao. That's right, Pizao. He's 20-8-1. 14 knockout, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 5 times, 9-6 in the UFC. He's gone 3-4 of his last 4, including winning his last fight via submission. 2-1 in The Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at middleweight and light heavyweight. 0-1 in Strikeforce. 2009 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck his opponents by 0.16 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Cortez Acosta, minus 175. Over to you.
I'm going with De Lima. Correct. I've been saying this about Waldo Cortez Acosta. I'm actually surprised his number didn't come in a lot closer to even money because people are hyped on Waldo Cortez Acosta, and this dude has got real suspect grappling defense. I mean, like, Chase Sherman's got a takedown on this guy. Chase Sherman, you know, constantly the butt of jokes, probably a little bit better than we actually give him credit for, but not in the wrestling department, certainly. And De Lima, I think, is just going to out-wrestle him with literally no problem. And even if he doesn't, I think just putting him up against the cage and making him work is going to tire him out enough to win this fight.
Tell us who Cortez Acosta has beaten in the UFC, Dan. Tell us the two fighters who he's beaten.
He's beaten Chase Sherman and Jared Vandera. And yes. Here's a funny one. I picked Jared Vandera to beat him.
Yeah.
And I stand by that pick because I believe if Jared Vandera wrestled in that fight, Jared Vandera could have beaten Waldo Cortez Acosta. He didn't, and he lost, but I do believe he could.
Yes. All right. We are linking up here with our picks. Let's see how we do on featherweights. Julian Rosa versus Fernando Padilla. I'll tell you about Padilla first. 14-4, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his UFC debut. A lot of debuting fighters this week. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of 5. However, he has not fought since May of 2021, so we're going on 2 years here. He's not lost a fight since March of 2019, was a regional champion, used to fight at bantamweight and lightweight, got 2 inches of reach on Arosa, 7 years younger, plus 125. Juicy J, Julian Arosa, 28-10. 11 knockouts, 12 submissions, been knocked out 6 times. He's 6-6 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4. However, he did lose via TKO his last fight. Used to fight at lightweight, 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter house, 1-0 in the Contender Series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt in our store. 2010 pro MMA debut, minus 130. Give me Juicy J Rosa. This is a tough ask for a debuting fighter, especially one who's going to have ring rust. Probably octagon jitters as well. Rosa's a hard guy to fight, even if you're experienced with this type of thing. So give me a Rosa in this one.
Yeah, and I know there's all kinds of rumbling about Rosa's number continuously coming down. And, you know, like there's always a rumor, oh, does somebody know about an injury or this or that? I'm going to be honest. I really think this is just like people looking at Padilla's record, you know, like the original line being posted where it belongs. And then people start looking at Padilla's record and they're like, oh, this guy's got a lot of knockouts. And if you watched his last knockout when he knocked out Cameron Graves, mean elbow on Dana White's looking for a fight. Real mean elbow. But this is a guy who's like, who had a lot of trouble with Spike Carlisle. Remember Spike Carlisle?
Of course.
Spike Carlisle beat that guy only 3 fights ago. And like, you know, that's not a good sign when you're about to fight a guy much better than Spike Carlisle. I'll also say this. I went back and watched Padilla's fights, and like, he's a guy who he works really well when he's moving forward, but doesn't move backwards very well. Also, when he's moving forward, he throws combinations, but he does not move his head. He doesn't cut off angles. So if somebody circles around him, he just like gives up all of the forward momentum he has. And he's also a guy who like reaches for a collar tie and wants a single collar tie so bad so he can throw 13 consecutive uppercuts. It's not varied in its approach. He just does the same thing over and over again. And like, if you don't move your head well, guess who you don't want to fight? You don't want to fight Julian Arosa because that dude hits really hard and he's clever with his boxing, right? Like he outboxed Hakeem Dawodo, right? Like, that's not a really that's not a low quality win. That's a very high quality win. And yeah, he did just get knocked out by Alex Caceres, but Caceres threw the weirdest combination I've ever seen. Who throws a left hook followed by a left head kick?
Alex Caceres. That's
yeah. Alex Caceres is who. And I also just think like Padilla works well when he's coming forward. I don't think he's going to move forward very much against Arosa. Arosa is a guy who moves forward better than most. So, hey, if that number keeps coming down, hey, wait till it gets to even money and give me Arosa then too.
Yeah. What does James Krause think about it though? Does he have any insider info on this?
I don't think so. Arosa was never a Krause guy, right?
No, I know, but the number's coming down. So
oh, I know. I'm just double checking.
I don't think he was a Krause guy, but who knows? All right. Let me tell you about a couple of our sponsors before we move on and see if we link up on all of our picks for this portion of the card. I'm going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here. What better way to get down to some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides daily NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also got NFL basketball drafts with a guaranteed $500,000 in prizes. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And if that's not enough, we got an NFL draft props contest going on right now. Part of SGPN's draft week, SGPN is holding a free NFL draft props contest exclusively for members of our Discord. It's completely free to join, and the winner gets $250 cash and a $50 gift SGPN gift card. So you can get that shirt I was telling you about. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord and go to the NFL channel for the sign-up link.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right. Speaking of links, will we link up on this next fight? Let's see. I have a feeling we're not going to, but let's see. It's middleweights. Rodolfo Vieira versus Cody Brundage. I'm telling you about Brundage first. 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Sorry, 8-3 is the record. 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 2-2 in the UFC. He lost via knockout his last fight. 0-1 the Contender Series. He used to fight at light heavyweight. About to reach the championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Go get the shirt. 5 years younger than Vieira. He's been outstruck in the UFC fights by about half a strike a minute, minus 0.54. He's at plus 200. Vieira, the black belt hunter, 8-2, 1 knockout, 7 submissions. So he's finished all of his fights. He's been submitted himself once. 3-2 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss. He used to fight at light heavyweight. He's a world champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Interreach on Brundage, more active landing strikes than him. He's been outstruck by his opponents in his UFC career by 1.47 strikes per minute, minus 225.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take Cody Brundage.
Ah, oh, we are linked up again.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cody Brundage.
I cannot pick Vieira after that gas out submission. What was that, 3 fights ago?
I think it was 4 fights ago, man. I can't pick him again after that. That was a long time ago.
But he's gotten older since then, too.
He has gotten older since then. He has looked a lot better since then.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that was in February of 2021, my man. Yeah. No, but here's the thing. It is Rodolfo Vieira is not going to beat anybody he can't hold against the cage and take down with a takedown that way, yep. Right? Because Rodolfo, I mean, that fight with Chris Curtis, I think, is more damaging for him, in my opinion, because in that fight, he shot 20 takedowns. And that's not an exaggeration. He shot literally 20 takedowns and he scored zero of them. And it was just by Chris Curtis being like, I'm never going to be in the range for him to do that.
Yeah.
And Rodolfo pretty much has like, he's got the jiu-jitsu trip takedowns, but he doesn't have a good double leg. He hasn't been shooting single legs. Like, he needs you up against the cage so he can do some body lock stuff and maybe some trip stuff. And like, as long as Brundage goes in with the game plan being like, do not grapple with an Abu Dhabi level grappler, I think he's going to be the better boxer. And here's the other thing. Cody Brundage hits so hard. The Trayshawn Gore overhand right was mean. The Dolce Lugiambula sub came just based on, like, again, a punch that he turned into a submission. Like, he's a guy who, I mean, when it's on the feet, he hits like a truck. And I think his wrestling holds up enough here that he stays away from Rodolfo. So, you know, you mentioned he lost his last fight by being knocked out. Rodolfo doesn't really have the ability to knock anybody out. So, yeah, give me the dog money on Cody Brundage here.
Yeah, Brundage can knock him out, and he's a solid grappler, too. So,
I don't think he's – I'll be honest, though. I think if this hits the mat, he's not going to look like a solid grappler.
No.
I think he's going to look like a very bad grappler.
Yeah, all he has to do is get this in the second round, and Vieira will be too tired to do anything, right?
Well, and then circle and make it a dogfight. Make him throw. Like, if he just – if he stands in front of him and like lets him get in on his legs, or, you know, lets him back up against the cage, or jumps into every single clinch that's possible, yeah, he might have a tough time. But as long as he's like, I'm going to throw a 1-2 right down the middle and I'm going to circle. I'm going to throw back to back jabs and I'm going to circle and I'm going to make him work. Like, Rodolfo is going to, you're right, is going to get tired. He's going to get frustrated. He's going to start windmilling punches, and then he's going to land some big bombs. So as long as he goes in with that game plan, I think he's fine.
Love the line on this fight, obviously. We're going to go clean sweep here, Dan, because there's no way we're picking different in the next two fights, because I've heard your picks. Middleweights, Kyle Bahio versus Mikhail Olasechuk, and this is at middleweights. Olasechuk is Hussar. We've talked about this nickname before, right? Is it a soldier type one again?
Yeah, it's like a mounted, Polish mounted soldier, I believe.
Yes. Yes, like a Mountie up here in Canada.
Sure. If that's what you need it to be.
All right, Olasechuk, 18-5 with 1 no contest, 13 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times, 6-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of 5. He's won 3 straight fights via knockout or TKO. He's on a very good stretch here. Used to fight at light heavyweight, has failed a drug test in the past, was regional champion, has missed weight also in the past, 2 inches taller than Bahio, 2 years younger. He's outstruck Bahio by 2.1 strikes per minute. He's more active landing strikes. That's what I'm trying to say. He's more than twice more active landing strikes than Bahio. It still didn't sound right, but that's I'm just going to move on. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost a strike a minute. Strike differential is at plus 0.96. He's at plus 309. That resume does not impress the people out of the books. The natural Bahio, 13-1 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3 straight wins in the UFC, 2-0 on the Contender Series, is part of a 10-fight winning streak. It's not lost since July of 2015. Used to fight at welterweight and at light heavyweight, was regional champ. Interreach on Olasechuk. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.76 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Olasechuk, minus 350. Obviously, I'm picking Bahio. Just way more well-rounded than Olasechuk. He's and he's a very smart fighter, as he was saying to Dan when Dan interviewed him on Top Turtle. He's just going to take this to the ground, and he's going to win it that way.
Yeah, Olasechuk's terrible if somebody could take him down, right? Like, Dustin Jacoby shot a takedown on him and scored it and was able to do that. When Jimmy Crude or Ovince St. Preux looked to take him down, they had no problem with it. It's literally people who will stand and trade with him are the ones who beat him. I don't think Kai Bohio is going to do that long. And even if he does, I think he's smart enough and safe enough that he's not going to get hit with like kind of the wide swinging shit that Michael Olasechuk brings. So yeah, give me Kai Bohio. I think he gets in there on the takedown. I also, you know, and it's not going to be one of my official props or anything that we're going to talk about later. I also just like him by submission here. Because he hasn't gotten a finish yet in the UFC, which I think is jacking up the price here on him to win by submission. And it's like depending on where you're looking, it's like plus 150, plus 160 to get Kai Boio by submission. I think he's really desperate for a finish, and I think this is a good spot for him to get a sub, too.
Yep, he sounds like he does want a finish for sure. All right, main event time. The makeshift main event got bumped from last week's card to main event in this card. Still going to be five rounds, though. Bantamweight Song Yadong versus Ricky Simone. Let me tell you about Mr. Song Yadong first. The Kung Fu Kid is 19-7-1 with one no contest. He's knocked out eight people, submitted three people. He's been knocked out twice himself. He's 8-2-1 in the UFC. He's gone 3-2 over his last five. Did lose his last fight via TKO. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. He's a Sanda champion, a Muay Thai champion, and a grappling champion. Twitcher taller than Simone, 5 years younger. He's more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.62 strikes per minute. He's at plus 105. Simone, 20-3. Six knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 8-2 in the UFC. He's won five straight fights, the last two via finish. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight as well. Was a regional champion. 1-0 on contender series. He's got 2 inches reach on Song. He's got better striking and grappling stats. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. He's plus 0.09 is the strike differential. He's at minus 115. Go ahead.
So I'm going to make a bigger claim here than even just picking Ricky Simone.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's the most underrated fighter in the UFC's bantamweight division.
Wow.
And maybe in the UFC in general. Like, people forget this guy put Merab Dvalishvili to sleep. And in addition to putting Merab Dvalishvili to sleep, he did that by taking Merab Dvalishvili down. With like a high angle double leg takedown. Like, it wasn't even like he tripped him or caught him off balance, or like he had the gas tank to go deep into a fight with Merab Dvalishvili and looked better at the end. Like, dude, that's insane. And like, even in his loss to Rob Font, which, like, in retrospect, no shame in a loss to Rob Font, he took Rob Font down six times. Like, that's pretty damn impressive to take Rob Font down that many times. Like, he took Montel Jackson down seven times. We're talking about a guy who like manhandled Jack Shore in his last fight and submitted Jack Shore, knocked out Rafa Sensau. And look, I get that Song Yadong has got like real big power in his hands, right? But like, also, if you look at the guys he's knocked out, like, it didn't age all that well, right? Like, when he knocked out Alejandro Perez, like, Alejandro Perez was like on the up and up, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Alejandro Perez, huge win. In retrospect, that doesn't look all that great. Julio Arce, I mean, I guess that one's probably his best one. Marlon Moraes doesn't look good anymore. And those are the guys he's out there knocking out. And he's getting taken down by guys like Casey Kenney or Kyler Phillips, or like Cody Stamann took him down five times. Like, these are guys who do not have 1/10 of the wrestling that I think Ricky Simone does. So yeah, give me Ricky Simone. I think he just like absolutely wears him out with the grappling and does whatever he wants here.
Yep, Simone is the obvious pick here, for all the reasons Dan said. Just hot streak, more well-rounded, and especially the grappling. He's probably going to win the day for him, and an amazing resume as well. So, all right, let's recap. Simone, we both are in on. Bohio, we both are in on. We're both in on all these people, we're going to say here. Brundage as a big underdog. We like Arosa. We like Lima. And we like Quinlan. We all linked up on all our picks. Now, for the fun part, we're going to do our locks, dogs, props, and parlays. Like, I think it's me leading off this week. Now, what was I going to pick? Let me pick my lock. Josh Quinlan, minus 170 is my lock.
I like that one. Thank you. Yeah, that's and it's a nice number, too. I'm going to take an even nicer number, actually. I'm going to take Julian Arosa, negative 130. Right. I mean, I can't believe you got a guy who was on a three-fight winning streak. Granted, he did lose that to Alex Caceres, and then he turns around, loses one fight, and now he's an under or almost a even money fighter against a debuting guy we've never heard of.
Yes, sorry, exactly. All right, for my underdog, Cody Brennage, a big underdog, plus 200. We just told you why we liked him a few minutes ago, so I like that.
I'm going to go a little safer with my dog. I'm going to take Cody Durden. I think plus 132 on Cody Durden. Just too big of a steal for me to pass up.
you want to hear why we both like that pick, go back in episode if you haven't already. All right. Now to get fancy, what is Bahia via submission that you were mentioning earlier?
Plus 160.
Give me that.
All right. Plus 160.
Yep.
Just putting it in my submission. All right, I'm gonna take an over prop here. I like the main event goes more than 3.5 rounds.
Yeah, I was thinking Simone via decision. So yeah,
and just kind of to cover myself here, I think there's a chance Ricky Simone just like outworks Song Yadong to a point where Song Yadong is just exhausted. I mean, like that's kind of what happened against Corey Sandhagen, right? He was just exhausted after round four. I think there's a real chance he does that again here and just gets exhausted, can't finish round four or five, you know, maybe even Ricky Simone sinks at a sub in rounds four and five. But I think it goes at least 3.5. And you can get even money on negative or over 3.5. So I'll take the even money on over 3.5.
So plus 100 for that. Yep. All right. Locks of Rosa and Quinlan, dogs, Durden and Brundage. Dan likes the main event going over 3.5 rounds. I like that too at even money. And I like Bohio at sub at plus 160. All right, here we go. Superfan Jong, Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay, excuse me. Two fights going to pay us at least 10-1 our money when it hits.
All right, so I'm going to start off with your dog play. I'm going to take Cody Brundage just on the money line. We don't have to get fancier than that. Plus 200 is already a number that makes the Hungry Man Jong happy. So I'll take Cody Brundage. On the money line, I'm going to pair him with a pick that I know you don't like. I'm going to take Jamie Lynn Horth, and I'm going to take her inside the distance. She's 5-5 with her finishes. I think also, you know, people see the 5-fight career and they're like, ah, she's green. She actually does have a pretty extensive amateur career too. And she has 2 amateur wins over Lupi Cadenas, which like bode pretty well too. Slew of finishes. She throws a hard right hand. I think the fact that Haley Cowan's been finished twice, granted, I don't know if it's going to be by sub or TKO, which is why I just like the straight up inside the distance prop. Jamie Lynn Horth inside the distance plus 275. So we're going to pair those two together and get plus 1025.
All right. Brundage to win, Horth to win inside the distance. All right. That wraps it up. Get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Have fun with us. Talk about the fights. If you haven't already, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing on this podcast. What else can you do? You can follow us on Twitter, SGP and MMA, and Jeff Fox Writer and Gumby Vreeland. You can subscribe to my Substack, where you can get a MMA email from me pretty much every day with various things. At least take a peek at it, see if it's something you'd be interested in. It's money, mma.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast. Kyle Bohio is on it, and Jamie Lynn Horth, two people we just mentioned, are both on it this week. Very good interviews, both of them. And everything else you need to know is that our revamped, brand spanking new looking sports gambling
podcast. It's sharp looking, isn't it?
It is. Sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check it out. Let us know what you think of our new design, and there's a big button at the top showing you how to join the Discord if you're not in the Discord already. So we cover every sport on there. Sports, we got sports book deals, we've got giveaways, everything you need is all our podcasts. Obviously, everything you need is on the site. So there you go. We're coming back on Sunday. We're going to recap how amazing we did with our picks this weekend. Until then, Gumby, go ahead.
I'm Dana Gumby Freeland. He's the Salsa Boy, Jeff Fox, and obviously, we will see you on Sunday.